5th chapter, starting verse 11, and then also in the first verse of chapter 6. Today is the second sermon I'm preaching in a series. It's called Grow Deep, Grow Big, and Bear Fruit. And the whole purpose for all of this is so that we will have this picture that we're having. And last week, I preached on growing deep. And, you know, I said, you know, it's all about the illustration of the seed, the plant, the tree, or whatever. And that, you know, we need to grow deep. And if we're not going to grow deep, we're not going to be able to grow strong. There's an awful lot of things. If you're going to be shallow, you'll be shallow because of the lack of depth. So everybody understands that, I think, a little bit. We talked about that last week. Today I'm going to talk about growing big. The harvest, the fruit, the crop, the size of the plant, the tree, if you will, that we want to produce today. And then next week we'll talk about bearing fruit, okay? But getting back to that analogy of the seed, you see, when you plant a seed, there's the expectation of a crop or a harvest. And what we don't like to talk about, since we don't have to experience that, is that when the seed does that, it has to die. Now, we don't know what it's like to die, but we know what it is to be broken. We know what it is to be humbled. We know what it is to have to surrender. And when all of those things, it's not comfortable, but we know that when that happens, new life begins. That's the process of planting and sowing the seed. So today, that's the way we're going to look at this and ask God to help us understand that, because it all begins and ends with that faithfulness on our part to say, God, I am willing to be humbled. God, I surrender everything I've got to you. God, I just want to start right here and tell you that I want to die to my own thoughts and my own life, and I just want to be burdened with what you want me to do. And that's where we're going to start. But we have a lot in common with the plant and the tree, if you will. I listed a couple of these things. Both of us are designed to grow by God. God designed the plant. God designed us to grow. He didn't design us to exist. My favorite verse in the whole world, John 10:10. It says, by this, he said this, I come to you, might have life, and life more abundantly. God doesn't want you to exist. Anybody can exist, but it's the person that has life in them that attracts people. You see the confidence in them. People are drawn to that. Well, God says, listen, that's who I want you to be. I don't want you to be just alive. I want you to be oozing with life, full of life everywhere you go. We both grow where we're planted. You know where the plant is able to receive the soil and it plants right there? It's just going to grow right there, and we're the same way. We both have a purpose, and that is to bear fruit. The cool thing, and in our respect, God says not only are you supposed to bear fruit, but bear much fruit. So we're going to go there next week. And we are both doomed. If we don't have nourishment, if we don't have water, if we don't have oxygen, and here's a little play on the word, if we don't have sunlight. The plant, if it doesn't have the sun that rotates, that we revolve around, and then awesome with us, of course, if we don't have the Son of God in our life, we're doomed. We have a lot of differences too, as well. A plant doesn't pick its soil. We do. We get to pick who's going to feed into us, the people we're going to be around, the environment that we select. A plant doesn't dream, but we do. We get to dream. We get to have this imagination and just anointed by the Holy Spirit for what we can be and what He wants us to be. A plant just grows. You ever notice that? A plant just grows. But we, on the opposite respect of that, we get to flourish. We don't have to just kind of just fill out the best we can. We can go much, much further beyond that. A plant can bear only one fruit, but we can bear many fruits. All you got to do is just go over there in Galatians 5. You'll see some of the fruits of the Spirit. Get over there in Corinthians when it starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Man, God wants to do all kinds of stuff with us. But our theme for today is to grow. And I wanted you to listen to that word, grow big. Start thinking big. Everybody knows we should be growing in Christ. Everybody knows as Christians we should be growing. We should be increasing as a church, as a fellowship, as an individual disciple. We should be growing. But let's start thinking above and beyond this thing. Let's start thinking big. I think too many of us have a small mentality. Or maybe we're afraid that because of some circumstances and some experiences we've had, we're not only supposed to kind of stay here in our little box. Well, this isn't about your personality, because not everybody's just super out of the box, outgoing. Some of us just have limitations on the characteristics and the personalities we have. That's not what we're talking about. But too often, our experience is anything but growth. Aren't we stunt our growth too often with things like doubt and apprehension and fear? I promise you that some of the things we're going to share today, God's going to get in your gut and say, you know what, I want you to experience that, and you're going to be fearful, apprehensive, and maybe even doubt that it could really happen to you, and you're going to shut it down right there. And that is not the good way to approach it. The other thing is we retard our growth way too often by repetitive sin. Too many times we've had to come to these altars or bow in our hearts in our living room or somewhere else and say, God, here I am again. back to where I was. Will I ever get over this thing that just this besetting sin? And God wants us to just get over that and grow big and beyond that into the Lord Jesus Christ. We're consistently being choked out by weeds like bitterness and envy and anger and resentment, jealousy. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. These things that come in there, we want to grow, but then they just choke us down because we see them just right there in the midst of everything else we're doing, and we get choked out. We're constantly having things like our excitement, our enthusiasm, and our dreams. You like that? I like those words. I like to be enthusiastic. I love to be just excited off the wall. I like to have big dreams, but too often what happens is I get in there and I start realizing I got an awful lot of regret, maybe some rejection, maybe some remorse. You know, maybe somebody hasn't approved of me, and next thing you know, all of that within me that I want to do is just somebody poured a huge cup of cold water on it and just extinguishes all that enthusiasm, that fire that's in me. Man, that's a hard place to be. All along, what does Romans say? Romans tells us that we're more than conquerors. Now the conflict. Here comes Scripture, tells us that we're more than conquerors. I look in the mirror and I'm going, I'd like to know where you see that. And then over in Corinthians it says this, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Every now and then you just have to swallow real hard and realize that either the Word of God is true or it's not. Either this is spiritually inspired by the Holy Spirit for your heart, your soul, your mind, your life, or it's not. And I say that it is. And if we'll start believing that, we will grow big. We'll have to just break out the boundaries a little bit. We'll have to start extending some walls. We'll have to start, as the Old Testament says, loosening those tent stakes because we got to expand. So let me take you to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 11, and then the first verse in chapter 6. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Listen, the writer of Hebrews isn't saying that you have a learning disability. He's saying you are unwilling to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by consistent use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Father, I pray that in the next few moments that we'll just expand our lives and our thoughts, not because we're just kind of opening our minds, not because we're just trying to think a little bit out of the box. It's because we're praying that you'll build something within us. You'll create something within us. You'll let something explode within us that sees that we could literally experience great growth, big growth, the kind of growth that God wants us to have. Not little bitty snail-paced steps, but big, huge leaps for you. And it can only happen through the Holy Spirit's anointing of your word and your life on our life, in our life, in Jesus' name, amen. The verse of Scripture I just read, does this sound like somebody that is really struggling? Does this sound like somebody that's really growing? Not at all. You know, I it's kind of embarrassing. If these words were put on your evaluation for your work, that would not be a great evaluation, would it? Would you be anticipating a promotion? Would you be anticipating a raise? You might be anticipating a pink slip, but that's the way it looks here. But the things that we're going to talk about today are going to help you grow. And please, I know it's a play on words, but just go with it for me just for a minute. Just keep thinking about the word big, okay? Just keep thinking about the word big, that we'll grow big, that our Christian life will get bigger, that our marriages will grow bigger, that our relationship with others will grow bigger, our enthusiasm for the Word of God will grow bigger, our desire to be in prayer will grow bigger, all of these things. And I believe it can happen. Going back to that last verse of Scripture is actually the 6th chapter, verse 1. It's amazing how these chapters, way they cut off the end of the chapter and begin another chapter, sometimes it interrupts the flow of the thought process. But he says this, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. A lot of us get Jesus and we're good and we're good to go. Got all that we need. As long as we know the basics, we're okay. We really don't want to go beyond that. But he says, no, let's go far beyond that. Let's go on to maturity. Not laying against the foundation. In other words, repeating. Guys, listen, let's just admit it right now. It's embarrassing sometimes that we have to go back to what we would call square one and revisit the elementary things about the Lord Jesus Christ and sometimes get our sins forgiven and get all energized again and get all feeling all good in the fellowship of God before we can go on. That's what he's saying here, repeating basically the foundation of repentance and acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Listen, I promise you that God's desire is that you do not remain infants in the faith. Now, everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to increase. It's just when it comes to that category, for some reason, we've automatically decided that we're just not a very good master of that. We're just novice. We're just such a rookie. Well, you've been a rookie for 40 years. When are you going to join the tour? When are you going to get busy a little bit? When are you going to realize that God says, this was meant for you a long time ago. I need you to catch up with the trend here and let's go. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. He wants us to improve. He wants us to mature. And it'd be real easy for me as a pastor to say, you know what? He wants this church to just bust loose. Well, you know what? That's attendance. And I want that too. And you're lying to yourself if you don't think God wants it. But you know what God wants first? He wants it to be birthed in your heart. And if it will be birthed in your heart to your benefit, it will bleed over into this community. And that's where we want to grow big in that area too. So let me share with you four false assumptions about growth, things that are not true. Number one, growth is automatic. You believe that? Growth is automatic. Well, we know that that's not true. Growth is anything but automatic. Matter of fact, you can't just sit back and wait and just think that it's going to happen. How many times did you get a great job, a promotion? Did you got somebody come and pat you on the back and say, you know what? We got better things for you because you were just sitting back waiting for it to happen. No, you know what it took? It took planning. It took commitment. It took hard work. They saw that, and you were rewarded for it. Listen, growth isn't automatic. It is something that we have to really get involved in. Number two, growth comes with experience. Well, that's not true either. In fact, I know a lot of people that have quit growing because of their experiences. Some of us are those people. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. We've been disappointed. We prayed and nobody got healed. We asked God to do this and it didn't happen. We did a lot of those things. We have experience. You've gone to church and it wasn't awesome. Now, I don't know if you're visiting with us today, but if this is the first time you've ever been to this church, you just exposed yourself to who we are. This was our praise and worship. Whether it was the best we've got or whether it's the worst day and ever. You know, and that's the whole thing. We're all on display here today. So this is what you get for today. So you had this one moment of evaluation. So this is your one and only experience. And that's why, you know what, we just feel so pressured. I tell this worship team, I said, listen, if you guys don't just nail it, I'm going to look like a fool. So you guys got to, no, I'm kidding, I don't ever do that. Matter of fact, they're usually going, please, don't make a fool out of us. After we do our wonderful praise and worship, don't bomb in the pulpit. No, we don't do that at all. This is our experience. Whether it's a great one or not, this is all you got. The problem is we look at the experience instead of the person we should be looking at, and that's God. And I'll tell you what, an awful lot of disappointing things have happened to you and me, but you know what? God was faithful through those things, and they were the best things that ever happened to us. I've heard people give testimonies about stuff that had happened, diseases and things like that, and they say, you know what? I don't want to do that again. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but I wouldn't give you anything for what God did through that circumstance to touch my life and make me better. You see, experiences are very, very limited. We all have experiences, but they don't necessarily cause us to grow. Everybody, a lot of people go to church, we go to conferences, we read books, you know, we're involved in ministry, but that doesn't guarantee growth. Now, they can add to your growth, they can enhance your growth, but they don't guarantee it. So that's why we don't rely on experiences. We got to decide to learn. We got to decide to make a conscious decision that we want to be bigger. The third misconception is this: growth is a result of age. And I just tell you, I don't know if it's any of these, but I know some teenagers that are a lot more mature than people my own age. Now, the reason I say that is because Pastor John tells me about these kids and what they do back there. Now, the girls went on a retreat, but the guys had dude night. You know what? They were trying to talk Pastor John into coming to my house and doing mean and nasty things, unthinkable things. They probably involved toilet paper. And if the girls had been there, they would have come. Because they have done unspeakable things to my office. These are rude women, I'm telling you. They need the Lord. That's all right. But it's not the result of age. We understand that. Here's what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, there is a big difference between growing old in the Lord and growing up in the Lord. One is automatic and requires no effort at all, just aging. But the other is never automatic or easy. It calls for personal discipline, continual determination, spiritual desire. Churches are full of sleeping saints who are merely logging time in God's family. Now that's a sad indictment on the way some of us have preached this. Hey, I don't know if you remember over in Joshua the 14th chapter, way back in time when Moses was still around, he sent some spies into the promised land to look it over. There was a guy named Caleb and a guy named Joshua. Now, Joshua is basically the leader of the Israelites. Caleb, guess how old he is now? This happened when he's 45. He's now 85 years old. He's going to his ninth decade. You know what he said? He said, you know what? Moses made a promise to me that I'd be faithful, and after we conquered this, that, and the other, that he would give me everywhere my foot went. And he said, and there's still people in that place to conquer. He said, let me go so I can go and conquer those people and claim the land that was given to me. You know, this guy never stopped believing. He never stopped trusting, and he never stopped working for the Lord. He was old by many standards. Good grief. You know, Griff has 5 years on him. That's how old he was. And he's still ready to go in there and wipe these people out. It's amazing how that works. Age doesn't guarantee you that at all. We understand that. So if you approach this with that potential, those expectations, you're going to be disappointed. But we need to start believing that God will do more with me in what he will do through me than anything else, and not quit waiting around for that magic day to happen. The fourth thing is this: growth comes from information. And there's nothing wrong with information. I think we should learn everything that we can. I know we have these keyboards over here, and if we had the big piano, which is probably a better illustration, and I knew everything about a piano. I could tune a piano. That doesn't help my illustration, but I knew everything about it when it comes to just reading everything. And I knew everything that was about the theory of music, but I'd never touched the piano. I never played the piano. It wouldn't do me any good. All that information, until it's applied, is just information. There's a whole lot of people that go to church. They've got a lot of education. They know about church history. They know about God. They know a lot of theology. They know a lot of answers to all the great questions. The problem is, you know, they've never applied that. You need to get busy applying that stuff, because there's no growth that you and I are going to experience with just information alone. It's information that is applied that's going to give us the growth that we're looking for. There's a gentleman named Leonard Sweet that said this: are we reading the Bible, in other words, accumulating information spiritually, in such a way that it brings us alive to relationships with Christ, providing godly experiences? Are we reading the Bible in such a way that Christ, his love, his joy, his grace, and his peace is being formed in us? And then we went on to say this too: it is theologically incorrect to talk of making the Word come alive. It is already alive. We're the ones who have tried to kill it. We've drained it dry with boredom and mediocrity. We need to start applying the things that we've learned. And when we do, we're going to see growth, big growth. I mean, things are going to start happening left and right. Now let me share things with you that are about the facts that are about growth. These are things you can take them to the bank. Number one, growth takes time. There's no child that was ever born full grown, and every woman in here said, praise God. It takes time. It takes time for them to develop. Their little lives have to get together where they can walk, and they learn how to talk, and they learn how to understand this is a color, and that's a shape, and then they learn how to survive and make their way around. They learn how to, you know, grow up and play and study and survive. You know, the problem is that we've forgotten that a lot of those mighty oaks out there that we admire took hundreds of years to get there. On the contrast, a vegetable can be grown in just a couple of months. But what do you want when it's all said and done? Do you want to be a mighty oak, which is a huge tree? Or do you just want to be a vegetable that's here in no time, you spent, and you're done? And that's what a lot of us do. And we repeat that process, and we're so disappointed because we did something. We maybe went to a conference, and we needed some inspiration, or we needed something to just kind of give us a boost. And we looked at the Bible, and we got all excited for a short period of time, but it didn't last. And we're wondering, where is that? That's because we haven't given it time to grow. Listen, you need to be in this thing for the long haul, because there are no shortcuts. There's no power pill. There's no magic, you know, liquid for you to drink. It's all about putting your time in. The second thing is that growth takes effort. You just kind of have to put some effort in it. How many of you know the poem Footprints in the Sand? You know that one? There's another one I want to share with you. It's called My Own Prints in the Sand, okay? It says, one night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prince appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? These prints are large and round and neat, but the Lord said they're too big for feet. My child, he said in a somber tone, 4 miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow, the walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your own. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb. But when one must rise and take a stand or leave their own prints in the sand. It's just simple, very, very simple. God's doing his part. He's been doing his part for a long time. We ask the question, God, where are you? He's going, hello, where are you? You know, it's going to take effort, and there's nothing wrong with that. Most of us don't mind rolling up our sleeves. It's just that we fail to do so. We get in that good intention stage, but we never do it. Okay, ladies, how many projects do you have at the house that your husband has promised to do and they're not done yet? You had your moment. That's it. I gave you the open door. If you didn't walk through it, too bad. If you nudged him with your elbow, it doesn't count. You had to have a hand in there. There's a lot of that stuff running around there. Okay, men, never mind. I was going to say something that involves the closet, but I'm just going to leave that alone. James Dobson says this. You know, James Dobson focused on the family. You should set your goals high and direct your energies toward achieving them. Train your mind, develop your skills, discipline your appetites, prepare for the future, work hard, go for it, because you can't steal second base with your foot on first base. Sooner or later, you got to disconnect and go for it. Put your energies in it in advance. Look at what Paul said to Timothy about growing. 1 Timothy 4, he says this, until I get there, Timothy, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Encourage the believers. Teach them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken to you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into these tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. This is not about establish an office, and you have any problems in the church, just tell them to come to you, or no, better let, just tell them to put it in writing and slip it under the door. No, this is out. Go out there and work the church. Be among these people. Help them. Encourage them. Read the scriptures. It's all about growth. This is what he said about the Thessalonians. In the first chapter of Thessalonians, Paul says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. That's a perfect picture of a church. Man, that faith is growing, that it's permeating through the hallways, and people are just loving on each other, and you're there for each other. That's what makes a church grow. The third fact is simply this, is that growth takes change. There's the word we were avoiding all morning long. It takes change. Listen, I'm like you. We don't like change. People don't like change. It doesn't make us any different. It just tells the truth. Sometimes we'd rather stick to our old ways and our traditions than to ever have to change. But why is change so hard? When we look at the Old Testament, look at Abraham, it cost him a couple of things. It always involves leaving, and it always involves loss. If you're going to change, you're going to leave something, and usually something that's very comfortable, because we tend to gravitate. It's like a magnet. We're magnetizing. We gravitate toward the things that are comfortable and the things that we like and the things that are manageable and then the things that we have control over. Leaving that is not a pretty picture. And when you do, a lot of times you lose it. It's gone. It's behind you. You can't go back to that thing. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. The Lord told Abram, this is before his name was changed to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Listen, we read that, and it just doesn't mean anything to us. He said, give up this, this, and this, and by the way, go to somewhere you've never seen before, and I'm going to tell you where it is. How many of you would quit your job, and God says, go so-and-so, and by the way, I'll tell you when you get there. We don't live in that world anymore, but that's the world that he lived in. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him, and oh, he was 75 years old when this happened. I got to tell you, I don't know where it is, probably somewhere around 35. You get this feeling that I'm about right there in my midlife crisis, which is probably pretty true. You know, 35, you know, you double that, what is that, 70, you know, that's pretty midlife. you know, somewhat like that. I remember I was in my late 40s and somebody said, "Are you having a midlife crisis?" I go, "I don't think so. I had that years ago. I'm at least 48. Man, that puts me pretty close to, no, I won't live that long." So I just did the math on them. But we start thinking this thing, that this is pretty much we're over the hill type, and we don't risk anymore. We don't dream anymore. We don't want to expand anymore. The truth of the matter is, if you're like me, I have moved so many times, I don't want to move. I don't care what kind of house you give to me. I really don't want to move ever again. I hate cardboard. And most of it's still in my attic. And I've been living in the same place for 10 years. You know why I hate moving? Because it usually involves other people. I wasn't invited to this. My children moved back from Nashville. I'm paying for a storage unit that their junk is in. Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to get that out. I feel better now. And stuff like this happens to us all the time, doesn't it? I don't want to move, but Abraham, he just up and moved. Listen, change does not equal growth. Change does not always equal growth, but anytime you change, you will grow. Anytime there's a change in your life, growth is imminent. You are going to grow somewhere, and hopefully you'll grow in the right direction, because you can grow in the wrong direction as well. Winston Churchill said this, "To improve is to change. To be perfect is to have changed often." Changed often. Let me give you the last one. Growth takes help. We need help from others. If we're going to grow, and I mean, you may want to look at it individually, but even individually, if you want to grow, you're going to have the help of others. There's no more lone rangers in this thing. Ephesians 4 says this, "Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work," and it says, "it helps the other parts grow." You do your part, I do my part, we will grow together. Listen, this is one of those sermons, if you're not careful, you'll think, "Oh, wow, you nailed me there. And you feel like it's all about you. But what God is saying, listen, we get all this thing in together. What he does over here and what he does over there and what she does over there, we're all going to grow because of that. We're all going to encourage you. Let me tell you what. You know what? Did you see it earlier? At the end of communion, I asked them to sing again. I didn't ask you to stand. But they started singing, and somebody over here stood. And then somebody back here stood. And then others said, before it's all over, you guys stood. And I never told you to still stand one time. The same thing can happen when we grow. If you'll start growing, somebody else will get permission to grow. Their desire that has been held back says, "You know what? I want to grow too." Boom, boom, boom. And next thing you know, we all start growing. And that's the way it works. I don't know why my voice went high like that. Forgive me. We need each other. That's all there is to it. We need not only help of each other, but we also need help from God. No longer doing it on your own, okay? That's why most of us have failed, was because we tried in our own effort to do this, and we've tried to grow, and we've tried to be better Christians, we tried to increase, and we failed miserably. We got to lean on God. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Spiritual growth matters. The growth we can accomplish on our own doesn't matter. But the work that God does in us and through us matters. I don't know how God does it, and it's the coolest thing in the world, but you do math with God, God takes something where we think it ought to be doubled, and man, He blows it out of proportion. It just explodes. And we thought it was only going to double. We only thought we was going to get a little bump out of it. God says, man, I'm going to throw a big increase in there. So let's bring this sermon where it always needs to come. Let's give you a little instruction, a little definition. Let me give you a little direction. So what do we do? Three things real quick. Number one, you need to confess. That's a strong word, but here's the deal. Most of us understand that the chances are the reason you're not growing is because of disobedience. It's not because you're confused. Now listen, I know that I'm getting a little animated with this, but the truth of the matter is, most of the time it's not because I don't know what to do, and it's not because I lack information. I just am not going to do what I've been told to do and what I know to do. It's because I've been disobedient. There's not a better word for it, and it's the most appropriate word. God is saying, I want you to get in my Bible today. I want you to be a person of prayer. I want you to be a person of integrity. I want you to get involved serving. I want you to be involved in ministry. I want you to be a better person. I want you to turn that TV off. I want you to quit going there on the internet. I want you to walk in faith. I want you to live for me and love me. And we don't do it. It's called disobedience, and it's also called sin. So we need to confess that, God, please forgive me. I confess that I have neglected the very word of God, which is the lifeblood of my heart and my spirit. It is your letter to my life. Think of it that way. Now it changes everything. The second thing is we got to believe. confess it, but believe it. Believe, trust, dare to dream the dream of what God can do if you allow Him to just grow big in your heart, and He will take you to places you never dreamed possible in your whole life. Dream these big, big things. Now, let me caution you. Here's what a lot of Christians do. If we haven't been living the life we should be, and that doesn't mean that we're in deep, dark, horrible sin, but you know what? We're not the person we should be and could be. You know what? We feel bad about it. And a lot of times we go, God, I want to be the person I used to be. Yeah, it sounds like a good thing to say, and I don't really contest it except for the motivation usually is I want to get back to where I was, but I don't want to go beyond that. You know, most marriages that are having struggles, they don't want to cure that marriage, heal that marriage so it can be a blessing again and so that it can be the greatest marriage in the world. They just want to get back to where things were. You have a problem with a friend, most of the time, we just want to resolve the tension and the friction in the relationship. We don't want to increase it. We don't want to make it better. We just want to get it back to where it's livable. That's what we do with God all the time. We just want to get back. God says, listen, don't just come back. Go beyond. Grow big in this thing. Let me blow this thing out of proportion in your life. You have no idea what kind of blessings I have for you. I just want to do so much more. Don't stop at that's good enough. I dare you to look at God in the face after you've read the Bible sometime and say, God, that's good enough. Did you feel the tension in that comment? Did you feel it? We would never say that to our boss. I mean, the boss gives us a task, and you know, it's probably, we know it's not what it ought to be, but we go, that's good enough. The boss is going, well, I'll tell you what, the street's good enough for you. We do that. Let's not limit this thing. Let's go far beyond it. Because don't forget, this isn't about God putting you to work more. It's about God blessing you more. That's what it's all about. The last thing is this. We need to change. More specifically, we need to commit to change. It's the most uncomfortable process of this whole thing. But it's within the power of every one of us to see these incredible things that happen in our life. The growth that God desires for our life is there. If we will keep striving no matter what, no matter how big or how small your steps of growth are, keep going after it and just keep stepping in it and keep pursuing that change. Sooner or later, you're going to get there. Sooner or later, you're going to get there. And quit looking down and wondering how far you've gone instead of look up at the goal and the place that you want to be, because God has some tremendous things you want to do. Your greatest obstacle, your greatest regret in all this thing will not be failing. It will be quitting. You realize that, don't you? If you're going to have a regret, if you're going to look back with remorse on all this, it's not going to be because you failed. Listen, we fail every day. And I'm not talking about just the sin. We just didn't accomplish what we wanted to, but you get back up and you keep going. You keep striving, and you overcome that, and you keep going forward. But if you quit, you quit. You're done. You stop dead in your tracks. We can't do that. Dr. Mike Clarenceau wrote this in a devotional. You eat an elephant one bite at a time, it is said, but most people get tired of the taste of elephant long before they get the job done. They look for quick solutions or more exciting priorities or opportunities to chase. But those who remain steady and give their best to their mission each day are the ones who win in the end. Be faithful, be consistent, and victories that seem unattainable will move within your reach. We have no conflict with what it takes physically to go from this platform to the back of the church. It is going to take what? Steps. You see, that's not that big of a distance, so we're not worried about that. But if I've got to walk from here to Tulsa, you know what? I ain't going. That's all there is to it. Most of us are going, I'm not going to do that. Listen, I've run 2 marathons, ran my first 5K this Saturday after my knee surgery. I'm excited. Back in the drill, so to speak. You know what? I'm a runner, so what? What if you're not a runner? Maybe you don't even own any tennis shoes. So what? But if that is the goal that God gives you, most of us are going to go, why try? I'm out of shape. I'll never do that. God, I'm not a runner. God, I don't even own the equipment. God, you got the wrong guy here. You see what we do? How pitiful. And I'm sorry, I know that sounds like I have an attitude, but I don't. If it's an attitude, it's an attitude about Christianity in general. And we don't let God do the things that he really wants to do because we've already decided what he can do. We've already put a cap on his abilities. Are you kidding me? The unlimited God of this universe? We told Mary, said, with God, everything is possible. There's nothing I can't do. But yeah, we've told him, you can't use me. God, I can't grow big. God, this church will never bust the walls out. God, we'll never make an impact on this community. And God, you'll never use me as a blessing to other people. And then you start looking at your own life. There's sins you go, I'll never get over that. I'll just keep going back to that. Let's start daring to believe that God says, listen, I want you to grow deep so you have a good, solid foundation. But after that, I want you to grow big because there are things I want you to do. Now, you're not competing with somebody else for prominence or attention. The only person you're growing big for is an audience of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you to bow your heads with me. We're going to be concluded in no time. But I want you to be real honest with me, real transparent, real quickly. If what you need to do is confess because your comment has constantly been, God, I just don't know if I can do that, or God, I will not do that. You know that you've neglected your Bible. You know you've neglected your walk in Christ. You know that there's things that God has called you to do. You've neglected all of those spiritual disciplines. And it's not that you are going straight to hell, but you're not the person that you know you should be, and you need to confess those things today. I just want to see your hand come straight up and right back down real quick. Hurry, hand straight up. Let's go. Just be honest with that, because God loves transparency, and God's going to honor that. Thank you. Put it right back down. The other thing is, you know what? You're looking, you're going, you know, Pastor Dave, my biggest problem is change. Man, I just don't want to change. I don't know if I can change. You automatically come up with all the limitations. Will you please just for one day say, you know, Pastor Dave, I'm willing to trust God for whatever he wants to do because I'm going to quit defining whether it can happen and ask him to do it in his strength and not mine. If that's you, again, hand right back up. Up real quick. Let's go. Right back down. Awesome. I believe this with all my heart. The last thing is this, believe. Are you willing to trust him today? To just dare to believe that he can give you a dream for a life that you've never existed before in your whole life. Listen, I know that there's a lot of garbage in there that's keeping us back. Some of you have been wounded deeply by Christians. Some of you have been molested. Some of you have had people treat you horribly. Some of you have made huge mistakes. Some of you think you don't even deserve to be in church. You wonder why you're even here now. On and on, all of those things happen. Will you just get rid of those for one second and say, I dare to believe that God could use me in the fullest capacity that he sees instead of what I see? Will you dare to believe him and trust him for that? There again, hands right up, right back down. Praise God. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, in a matter of moments, we're going to leave this place. And we're going to experience change. But I pray the change won't be that we just physically go from this room to the parking lot, to our car, to wherever. But that the change that we will experience is that the minute we leave this place, we feel something happening in us that we never anticipated today. That God is going to begin to give us a dream. God's going to give us the energy for change. God's going to give us the ability and the faith to trust him for the things that we want to do. And God, I think every one of us, if we were really honest, we'd say, God, I want to grow. I'm tired of not growing. I'm tired of having a limited existence. I'm tired of things not being exciting. I'm tired of not looking forward to tomorrow. I'm tired of my Bible just being this arduous discipline, this obligation to read. Instead, I want it to come alive. Father, I'm tired of prayer being something that I have to make myself. I want to be thrilled to death to be involved in prayer. God, I'm tired that fellowship and going to church is such a battle. I want it to be the thrill of life. I want it to be the high point of my week because I know I'm going to be with you. I'm going to sing your songs, talk about you. God, that and many, many other things, I pray that you do for our people here today. You can only do it. If you believe that God will do that, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing this chorus through one time, then we're going to be dismissed. But as we do, I hope you'll begin to just let your faith, your enthusiasm kick in. Let's verbally sing this song as if we now have experienced that change. Let's put that enthusiasm in it. Remember what I told you a little bit? Hey, fake me out if you have to. Right now is the right time when you start pretending if you got to. But
Just let your face just loosen up a little bit. We're going to grow big out of this thing. God's going to pat you on the back. And this week, he's going to do something really cool for you. And if you don't believe that, because you're not going to receive it, because you don't believe it. But if you believe it, look for it. God will do it. Amen. Pastor, don't leave us in the last time.